No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed and... Wait, Keith? No, neither one. They're running late. But they are threatening to be here and join me for today's virtual flight through the latest aviation news and information. So we'll see. And I'll get by in the meantime. I mean, look, I got my third class medical. See it right here? I got it. I got it by the deadline of August or April 1st. Yeah, August 1st. Yeah, there was a joke there somewhere. But April 1st was deadline of the new procedure the FAA has set up. But I beat it. Yes. And I got my third class medical, and I'm ready to get back in the cockpit and start my flight training to help push me along, maybe. Maybe she'll let me in the cockpit with her. Is Abington, she's in San Juan, I believe, right now. Is that right, Abington, getting ready to catch a flight yourself?
That's correct.
All right. So I got my third class medical. Does that mean I can join you now or no? Or you wouldn't allow that anyway, I guess, right?
In the cabin. You can go back in the cabin.
Okay. I can fly with her as a passenger, paying customer kind of thing, but not in the cockpit just yet. But
it's the only place I would allow you.
Okay. Well, that's me, you, and everyone else. Well, most of them wouldn't even allow me on the plane, so I feel honored that you at least allow me to do that much. So I know you're keeping busy, and we're going to talk a little bit about what you're up to, getting ready to fly to Guadalupe. Or tonight, I guess. But I actually need to lean on you just a little bit because Ed and Keith are not here at the moment. And we have a listener and correspondent who needs your professional advice and consultation. Are you ready to help us out today, Abington?
I hope so.
I mean, you're a super pilot. You've done everything. You're a flight instructor yourself. So I figure if anybody can answer these questions, you can. Okay.
And okay.
And I promise they have all to do with aviation and nothing else, because I usually have to clarify that with her. Otherwise, she might just hang up on us. All right. Dennis is listener that I'm talking about. Dennis is on Just Plane Radio. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Greg.
Okay. So you are getting ready to do your check ride for your IFR, correct?
That is the plan.
All right. So you reached out to me this week and you said, I need some professional advice before I get in the cockpit and do my check ride with my examiner. And you're prepared. First of all, you're feeling pretty good about this, right, Dennis?
I am. I still need to do a little bit more flying. Weather's been kind of uncooperative up here in the northern Minnesota. But, we'll get some more flying in this weekend. But, going through the groundwork, going through prep for the oral, and, I'll be honest, it's been 28 years since I last took a check ride.
Ooh, that's a bit of a stretch. That's even longer than my last time of doing flight training. You hear what I'm saying? And a lot of people would think, oh, my God, I thought that was like a century ago. But, yeah, that's been a while. But you've been, you've been listening to the show, so you've picked up a few little nuggets that way, and you've gotten back in the cockpit and done all the training, and you're ready to go, though, pretty much.
I actually never left the cockpit. I've been flying fairly regularly, and in the last 2 years, I've probably flown more than, in the last 10, probably.
Okay.
So this is what is kind of motivating me to get my instrument rating, and everything's kind of coming together. So I've done the written. That's already taken care of.
Nice.
I've got the 40 hours of dual instruction. That requirement's met. We've met the requirements for the long cross country.
Yeah.
So all of those things are done. So now it's preparing for that oral exam and the actual check ride itself. And I'm just looking for some advice and areas and things that I should be aware of. I've gone through, a couple of ground sessions with my instructor being drilled on a lot of this stuff. But there's a lot of changes recently, too. Things like electronic flight bags that didn't exist, 5 years ago? If the advent of ForeFlight and Garmin Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
What are people seeing out in the field as far as instrument students taking check rides using these electronic flight bags and not paper copies of charts? our examiners saying, well, you got to be able to fly this with a paper chart. I don't want to see the GPS on your screen showing where your little airplane is next to the hold, or on, you know, where you are in the approach. Or is it not a problem? Is it, does it go under the category of anything to help your situational awareness you're allowed to use, as long as you are still using the approved certified avionics to actually position yourself on the approach?
My professional opinion is yes, which means absolutely nothing. So I'm going to defer to Abington, who actually, you know, she was the flight instructor for Aereo Tuido from Flying Wild Alaska. And you're still doing a little bit of flight instruction, even though you're kind of full force commercial pilot at the moment. Is that right, Abington, or no?
Definitely. Yeah. And also, my fiance is an examiner.
Well, there you go.
We talk about check rides all the time.
Well, that, and if you grease her palm with a 20 or 50 or something, that might help with her better half as well. You hear what I'm saying, Dennis?
I do. What's his availability late next week?
He, unfortunately, would have a long time to wait to reach him. There's not a lot of examiners in the Vegas FISDO, but before I answer your question, there are a couple things I kind of need to know to help you out. One is the examiner at the same airport that you're training at?
I don't believe so. The gentleman's actually, I believe, based out of St. Paul, but he may be able to come to my location. We haven't worked out the logistics of whether I'm going to fly to his office or if he's going to do the exam out of my hangar.
Hmm. Okay.
Why do you ask?
The reason I ask is because if you have to travel to him, and this happened with a student of mine, in fact, it was my very first student that went for an instrument check ride, failed with my fiance. And so I know I don't get any special treatment with having a fiance as an examiner. But what we did was we did all of our training at her home airport in Santa Ana, California, and traveled out to Las Vegas to do the exam. And she lost her situational awareness. And that's what was the reason for the failure.
Ah, so, all right. And so later that night, were things tense there at the dining room table?
No.
Failed my student. What's the matter with you? Give her a break. No, didn't happen.
No, not at all. Oh. Not at all. And I mean, she was more than professional about it. She understood. And we had done a few familiarization flights in the Vegas area so that she would be as prepared as possible before her check ride. But that is something that I would insist on, is that if you end up going to him, to the examiner, take a few flights in his area at his airport, be familiar with the approach plates for the field there.
Makes sense.
And just so that you don't, because it's going to be a new area for you, and you're already going to be under stress anyway. So you want to eliminate as many factors that could potentially mess you up.
What do you think, Dennis?
That's a great tip. The airport that we're talking to is only maybe 20 miles from mine, but that's a good point. Most of my approaches have been done at either my home field or one just to the south. Because of all the air traffic around Minneapolis International, we haven't really wanted to go over to the east side and do approaches into St. Paul downtown and some of those other approaches. So that might be something to put on my calendar this weekend, to fly with my instructor and do some of those ILS and VOR approaches.
Yeah, you kind of want to stalk your flight examiner, don't you, and find out where he likes to fly, and that way it could play to your advantage. Maybe that's not the proper professional way to state it, Abington, but am I on to something here maybe?
Yeah, I always tell my students, train like it's wartime. And then that way, when wartime comes around, it feels like training.
Uh-huh.
And so when a check ride situation is such a high stress, high activity, you're doing so many different types of approaches. You've already done a couple hours of ground and an oral exam. Your senses are heightened. So it feels like war. Well, you want to make it feel like training. You want the check ride to feel like training. So start training like it's wartime.
Mm-hmm. Now, when are you planning to do your check ride, Dennis? Like in a week or two, or a little longer, or what?
I'm hoping by the end of next week that I'll actually have the check ride done.
Okay. And do you have some time to do some flights like that to familiarize yourself with that area?
I do. We were supposed to fly two other times this week, but the weather up here has been so bad. We've actually had below instrument minimums here for 2 days. Then today, the winds are 30. Gusting as high as 45.
No, wait a minute. Below instrument minimums. I didn't even know there were minimums for instrument flying. I thought that was the whole point for IFR, is to fly with your instruments. What is below minimums? Like, yeah, you can't take off because the wind's too crazy? Is that what you're saying?
No, you can't take off because you don't have enough visibility or cloud height to actually be able to come back and do an approach back at the airport. So while it may be legal for me to take off, because as a Part 91 flight, I don't have takeoff minimums like an airline would. However, common sense says if you can't shoot an approach back to the airport you just left, you probably shouldn't be taking off in the first place.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like a fun ride regardless if the weather's that crappy. All right. Hold on. We're just getting started. We're trying to, educate Dennis. Maybe you're picking up a few little tidbits yourself as he prepares for his IFR check ride with his examiner. And we're giving him some tips. We'll see what kind of direction we can send him on next right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your dive safety association.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
They always listen to the tower. They never question the authority of the tower.
Well, the tower's telling us to hold.
Well, so what about that? Just once, I want to hear,
the tower's telling us to hold, but you might notice I'm rumbling along the grass. If you look out the right, you'll see all those aircraft lined up on the runway. The tower keeps telling us we're number 19 for takeoff. I say we're number one. What's the tower going to do? Hey, you! You can't exhibit that type of behavior!
You're right, I shouldn't have done that. No, I should have listened better. If you need me, I'll be up in the clouds.
You must be a pilot to know that move.
This is Just Plane Radio. Gregor, co-pilot. That's me. I'm hanging with Abington, who's in San Juan. She's a flight instructor, super pilot, you name it. She's done it. Getting ready to fly to Guadalupe herself. Or Guadalupe? How do you say it down there in the islands there, Abington? What is it?
Well, I call it PTP because that's the airport identifier.
Okay. That's one way to get around trying to say it properly. And you
but
sound hipper.
Guadalupe.
Yeah, Guadalupe.
Guadalupe.
Okay. We'll go with that. And Dennis is getting ready to do his check ride for his IFR training, instrument flight rules certification. And he's asking for some guidance. And why he came to us was, well, that was his first mistake. But I pulled in the big guns and brought Abington to help us out here. And your main issue that you had was with the electronics that are available to us now. So you're talking about bringing your iPad in with 4Flight on it and that kind of stuff? Or what are we
exactly.
talking about, Dennis?
No, there's been a lot of conflicting information as I've been preparing for my check ride. You know, modern airplanes now have got so many more electronics and aids to navigation than ever before. Plus, pilots can be bringing their own. My iPad can actually show me exactly where I am on an approach plate using my, you know, the GPS position and the chart. And, you know, is that considered cheating for the instrument rating? I'm supposed to be doing a, let's say, an ILS approach. Mm-hmm. You've got everything dialed into the radios on the airplane. I've got my needles crossed, but I can look down to my chart and make sure that I'm where I think I am. Or even more critical, if you go missed approach and have to get into that hold, being able to help visualize your entry while you're, you know, getting everything sorted out to go make another attempt at that approach, you know, what's the examiner going to do? Do they want you to rely on those gauges and not use the iPad as a crutch? I've also heard the same thing being said about whether or not you should be using an autopilot in the airplane for your check ride, because you're trying to show that you can fly the airplane. So if you're allocating that task to the autopilot, does that reflect poorly on your skills as an aviator, or does it show that you're using all the resources available to you to be able to safely conduct the flight?
Well, Abington, let me jump in here, because if it's anything like VFR, from what I remember being told from Diego, our flight examiner locally here, was that before we go up in the airplane, we're going to have a little orientation, and he's going to give me the opportunity to ask a few questions just like that. And he may say, no. Which I better be prepared that he's going to say no. Or he may say, yes, you can do this, so you're not up in the plane or whatever, and there's any issues like that. Does that sound reasonable, or am I off base? What do you think?
No, you're perfectly on base, and that
yes!
was going to be my it's the first time, Greg.
First well time done. For everything.
Give yes. him a banana.
Heck yeah,
yay!
Buddy.
That was going to be my second piece of advice, is to call your examiner before you go down for the check ride. And most examiners are willing to talk to you about what they are expecting, because, you know, you take Sean, my fiance, and he's 31. So he is very young. He's very digitally minded. He loves when somebody comes in and has everything digital and they know how to use the tools that they have.
Yeah.
And helps them with their situational awareness. Now, he's definitely going to test you on unusual attitudes and all of those things when you get into the aircraft to make sure that you can hand fly the aircraft. But if you're coupling the autopilot with approaches and you can do it efficiently and you have a mastery of the airplane, then it does not matter to him if you use the autopilot during your approaches.
Mm-hmm.
But
is that a subjective kind of thing?
Well,
that...
Exactly. That's yeah. exactly my point, is there's examiners, because most of the examiners, when you get into the pool with the FAA to become an examiner, it's typically about an 8-year waiting list. So a lot of these guys, they've had careers and they're looking at something to do to keep themselves in airplanes after they've retired. And that's why most examiners are typically older people. A lot of those guys are not digitally minded at all. And so it even took a long time on Flying Wild Alaska for us to get an examiner who would do a check ride in a glass cockpit Cessna 172 for aerial. We had to have somebody come up from the Anchorage FISDO to do that. And because there wasn't anybody qualified in the Fairbanks FISDO.
What? Because they didn't have any glass cockpits in the airplanes? Or what do you
in
mean?
In Alaska? Yeah. No, yeah. In Alaska, people don't fly with glass
okay.
cockpits. They fly Cubs and they fly, you know, old school Cessna 180. So there's a lot of examiners who still abide by those old school ways and are not very digital friendly. Not because they don't want to be, but just because it's not them.
Well, if it's not them, can they say, "Hey, sorry, I'm not familiar with that stuff, so you can't use it"? Is that at their discretion then, or what?
they probably, if you showed up in a full-blown glass 172 and said, okay, this is what I'm going to do my check right in, I've known a few examiners to say, you know what, do your check right with this person. Hmm. They're just not, some are just not comfortable with that. And that's
right.
Perfectly fine. So I would actually suggest to get a hold of the examiner this week and ask him those questions. Say, you know what, I'm planning on doing my check ride with you next week, and I want to see just, you know, how do you treat glass? What's your take on autopilot? What tools are you expecting me to know? And that is going to help tremendously. Just go straight to the source. And examiners, I mean, you're going to have his phone number anyway.
Yeah.
In case of any scheduling conflicts, you always communicate with your examiner. So I've always had my students call, and usually I'll do a brief with them and say, you know, this is, how are we going to do this? And they'll give you that advice. But I've seen it both ways, where some really, really like it and others don't. Now, you do have to have the PTS. You do have to have a FAR aim. You want to have those things marked up, booked up, tabbed up, whatever you call it.
PTS means, what is that?
Parent? Practical test standards.
Practical test what?
Standards.
Yeah. Practical standards. That's what I thought. Yeah. Just making sure everybody is up to speed with you.
Yeah, I know. We're all so full of acronyms and I'm talking really fast. But the PTS is exactly what you're going to be tested on.
Yeah.
So everything that's listed in that PTS for an instrument rating or instrument privileges is only in that PTS. Uh-huh. So the examiner can only have you do a certain amount of non-precision approaches. Can't have you do any more, at least can't test you anymore. Mm-hmm. A certain amount of precision approaches. All of that is laid out beautifully in the PTS.
That is some invaluable information, and Abington, we appreciate it. I know you got a flight to catch, so I'm going to let you go. Captain Ed has just walked in, and we'll continue helping out Dennis here next on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me. All right, Abington has left the building. And Captain Ed came in towards the end of that segment, was listening in and shaking his head in disgust.
No.
I think it,
no.
Well, it was just a typical look you give me when you see me first.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's true. I thought, God forbid me thinking that he didn't agree with something we were talking about. And it was just like, oh, it's Greg. Okay. Well, what are you going to do? Now, did that sound like good advice she was given, or did you have any issues or comments?
Some of it was good and right on. Others that it really, it's not up to the examiner, and if the examiner is following the guidelines given to him by or her by the FAA, mm-hmm. he can't interfere with that.
With electronic charts and things?
Exactly.
So if you want to use those and you say, hey, I'm going to rely on these for flight or my iPad or phone or whatever.
Exactly.
And he says, well, what is that electronic gizmo you have as your 80-year-old examiner looks at you in disgust?
Yeah. They cannot say or do a thing.
Really?
And if they do, you immediately stop your check ride and report that to the FISDO.
Really? Okay.
Because it has been very clearly given guidelines to examiners. They go through annual training by the local FISDO. They go through recurrent training every 2 years by the people in Oklahoma City. And these are subjects that they go through with them, having talk to examiners about this. They specifically said, yeah, no, we cannot forbid you from using that. And if they try to do that, they've immediately stepped out of their bounds.
Hmm. So if you get a bad vibe, what if you just don't like the way the person looks? And you're like, you know what? I'm not getting a good
vibe.
That's
why most people don't want to fly with you, Greg.
Well, true. Maybe I'm doing that from firsthand experience.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, do I have the right to say, well, you know what? I don't really like this guy. I'm going to go with someone else. See ya.
Yeah, you do.
Again.
Absolutely.
Dennis, does that
make
you
feel good? You're the customer.
Well, there you go.
You're the customer. You get to choose.
Dennis, that make you feel good or worse? What do you think?
No, it makes me feel good.
Okay. Well, at least we haven't scared him away just yet. But give us time. The show's not over yet. More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
So, you gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
And I'm flying so high, high off the ground, when you're around.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and flight training professionals. Also, Dennis. He is a, he's a student in training for his IFR check ride. Hopefully you hope to get this done by the end of next week, right?
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, and you have some questions about the check ride.
I said earlier, it's been 28 years since I last took an FAA check ride. And so I'm trying to get everything kind of put together and organized so that when I show up, I'm as prepared as possible so that at least the examiner isn't going to be going, well, what do you mean you didn't come with a copy of the FAR AIM? I want to eliminate all the easy things so that they can actually quiz me on the material at hand and not be already put off that this guy didn't seem to become prepared.
Mm-hmm. And I can identify with what you're thinking there, Dennis, because this is the exact same scenario Tom Haines had when he came down to do his commercial with us. He'd been through type rides for a B-25 and Citation, and he was way more nervous about a commercial single engine flight test and what to expect, because when he went through his last FAA certificate ride that, PTS didn't exist, and probably the same for you. I know when I did mine 30 years ago, we had this little 4 or 5 page pamphlet that was the test guide, but it was back in that day completely depended on the examiner you got, what kind of test you got. And they've definitely fine-tuned that considerably since then, and they're about to do another round of that going from the PTS into the ACS. And that's actually something that talks more about technology in the new ACS, and it specifies in there so no examiner can refuse you using them that, documents, electronic or paper, are acceptable. And so at that point, no examiner will be able to refuse you because it's right there in writing for their guidance.
Makes sense. Now, after 27 years, though, it is possible Dennis could go have a flight examiner that was the same guy he had 27 years ago.
Yes.
Actually, I could, because the guy that gave me my private pilot check ride, he's out of Superior, Wisconsin, and he is still a designated examiner. So if I wanted to fly a couple hours north, I could actually have Bill give me my check ride. However, I think it's more practical, since I live down in the Minneapolis area, to have one of the local examiners that's worked with the flight schools that my instructor has sent students to, that they have a relationship as well.
Well, if he's younger, like Sean, Abington's better half is like 31. Couldn't you play the old man card and say, hey, don't give me any crap. I'm way older than you, Sonny.
Well, I think having an instructor that's in her early 20s has already kind of softened me to that. She knows more than I do, and I have to accept that, because that's why I'm paying for her to train me. She has demonstrated that she is capable of flying an airplane and teaching a person to fly airplanes in the clouds, and she's earned my trust and respect.
Yeah, but she wouldn't want to, fail her grandpa. You hear what I'm saying? That's my point is.
But she has a job that, if you aren't up to the task, that she has to do that.
Hmm. Exactly. The other thing is, you're right in your theory of using somebody she's familiar with, because the examiners did develop impressions of instructors. And, this one's coming from so-and-so. This should be an easy one because she always sends me well-prepared people. And so that is, there is some validity to that, because that will make the ride, as long as you're answering questions and doing tasks correctly, they're going to be a little bit more relaxed going into it.
Well, there you go. Does your flight instructor know this examiner or no?
She does. Actually, she's had him as her examiner on some of her check rides recently, too. Uh-huh. So, you know, she's flown with him and been on the other side of the yoke. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I kind of came in there at that last part of that segment and heard you talking about autopilot. That it's something they, if you're testing in an airplane with an autopilot, they have to test it. And so it used to be that people would go and placard the autopilot and operative for the flight test. But if it's in the airplane, it actually has to be functional for the flight test so they can test you on it. So that is some cases you run into the old examiners, they'll ignore it. But it actually states in the PTS that if the airplane is equipped with an autopilot, you have to demonstrate an approach procedure using the coupled autopilot.
Well, using
what we were talking about was, you know, where... How much can you rely on it? I mean, do they expect you to hand fly the airplane? Or is it perfectly acceptable to, you know, do your climb out and as soon as you level off, then lock the autopilot in, get and do everything else? Or should you be hand flying the plane? I just was curious, to get somebody else's perspective on that as well.
Yeah, and I agree with the concept of talking to the examiner beforehand, and what Greg said, that the examiner should actually have that as part of their briefing, or when you're going through, because they are required to give you a pre-briefing prior to the oral, after the oral, going into the flight, and then at the end. And that briefing prior to the flight, it's supposed to be open for you to ask questions like that. And that's what I tell every applicant is, get a list of those type of questions so that when you're sitting there at that briefing, you can know. Now, of course, we already know what they're going to say because we've already asked them these questions as instructors ourselves too, ahead of time, so we know that you're going to be able to do what you're normally used to doing. So that is going to be an interpretation question for an examiner, but most of them are going to realize, hey, if you need it at a high workload time, that's what it's there for. Show me how to use it and use it effectively. If you can't use it effectively, then that's going to lead to them digging a little deeper. But if you're effective at using it, and then there'll be a point where they say, okay, let's hand fly this one. And from this point forward, let's hand fly this approach. So they will ask you to do it without, but they may only ask you to do without. I tell people, use it during their vectors, and when it comes time on that base vector, everything's set up and you're ready to fly the approach, turn it off and hand fly it. Then they generally will have no problem with that because it's there for workload management.
Yeah, and Dennis, I'm just guessing, but if you're familiar with your autopilot, isn't that an easier way to go anyway? You would prefer to use that if it was up to you, wouldn't you? Or no?
I would.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure that an instructor wouldn't consider it a crutch. You know, in light of what happened in San Francisco a couple of years ago with AirAsia, where they became overly dependent on the automation, is that a area of focus for the FAA to make sure that basic airmanship skills aren't lost and that people aren't relying?
Oh, absolutely. They are looking for that. They're looking for a balance. Is what they're looking for. You're good with it and you're good without it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I've decided to fly the 172 for my check ride instead of our Cardinal. Even the Cardinal would have been a better choice from a technology standpoint. It's got a Garmin 430, so we could do GPS approaches. It's got an autopilot, but it's also got retractable landing gear. It's got cowl flaps. It's got a movable propeller that we have to deal with. A lot more workload. So the other option was the Cessna 172, which has got two VORs and a distance measuring equipment, DME, and that's it. So that reduces the possible approaches that I can have to demonstrate. I don't have to deal with cleaning up the airplane after takeoff and getting gear stowed and power settings. So we're just trying to figure out what made more sense from a balance standpoint there, too.
Now, is that cheating, Ed?
No.
No, that's just smart.
I mean, that's when we're working with our customers, it's like, okay, should I do my instrument training in the 182 or the 172? I tell them, fly the 172. It's moving closer to the speed your brain's going to be moving at. The 182 can sometimes get a little fast for you. And, you have less to do. You don't have to remember cowl flaps. you know, if it was retractable, obviously that's even another workload. How embarrassing is it to fly the most perfect ILS and in the roundout the examiner takes the controls because you're about to land gear up? What other choices do you have other than to fail you? So you are setting yourself up. If you have the option, go with the simplest airplane you have.
Mm-hmm.
Make your workload the least, because the stress of the flight test will make it enough work.
Yeah. Well, do you like that plane better too, Dennis, or you like the other one? Just as far as flying. Honest,
the Cardinal's a lot nicer flying airplane. It's a lot more stable.
Yeah.
But at the cost of it being, you know, far more systems to have to manage, mm-hmm. I figured the trade-off of having a little bit more of a handful of actual flying versus having all of the other stuff to remember and deal with, I thought it was a smarter move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it'd have to be pretty bumpy for you to get failed, I would imagine, anyway, wouldn't it? As far as you're saying, it's a little tougher to fly?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it doesn't hold the headings nearly as nicely. You know, the Skyhawk isn't as stable. It just seems that the Cardinal, just once you get it trimmed out, it just wants to stay wherever it is. Mm-hmm. And you can always flip the autopilot on.
Yes. Well, I'm learning stuff. One of these days, I'll be in this position of Dennis in the not-too-distant future. I mean, look, I got my third-class medical. I got it right here. See this?
I'm impressed.
Yeah, you should be.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Does your head feel like it's going to implode when you swim to the bottom of a pool? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you how divers go way deeper without any problem next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Pressure can create pain and many other issues for diving. However, divers easily and comfortably reach depths at 100 feet or more by learning techniques to equalize their ears and sinuses. It's really quite simple to do. If you've ever flown in an airplane and yawned to clear the pressure in your ears, you can likely do the same underwater by following some basic tips from a dive instructor. Dive into dan.org for more info and Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Level her off. Good job.
You hear that? Flawless. It makes sense. This is second nature. I've logged a lot of remote control hours. Gus, what would you say is harder, RC or the real thing?
The real thing.
Tough call.
I'm flying across the
is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along, Captain Ed. And Dennis is getting ready to do his IFR check ride, instrument-rated check ride. And hopefully by the end of next week, we'll have another instrument-rated pilot, which means you can pretty much fly anywhere you want. Right, Dennis? You think?
Well, it gives me a lot more options. It's not a matter of flying anywhere you want. It's flying in conditions that would normally keep you on the ground.
Right, which can be somewhat limiting. At times. All right.
It can.
you know, and I might not be too far behind his flight path because I got my third class medical this week, as promised. It's right here. You see this, Ed? You thought this never would happen, right?
I want to look at it close, see if actually... Yeah.
But it has my name on it, and I just didn't print it off the internet.
Well, it's got your name on it, but he forgot to sign it.
What? Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, this my is no good. God. Are you serious?
No, I'm teasing.
Oh! Jeez. I'm like, that was clear across town. What the hell? Oh, brother.
I couldn't help myself. Yeah, sorry, Greg.
I knew.
Well played, sir.
Yeah. I hate you. All right, but anyway, I do have it now. So I have no excuse. Actually, I want to go to the eye doctor one more time.
Yeah, it's like you shooters. Have no excuse. That doesn't sound like you.
Yeah, I'll come
There'll
up with
an
another
excuse.
One. But no, I'm going to go to the optometrist and get my cheaters, get some better cheaters. That's all.
That's
maybe,
good.
Maybe go to Costco and just get a good deal on some new cheaters.
There you
and
go.
Then I'll be ready to go.
Now we just need to get them on the schedule.
What do you mean?
Get a lesson.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, see, he's backpedaling already.
Well, I have some traveling coming up. I got to go up to New York here in a couple weeks, and then we got Sun and Fun, so I can't really do much.
That's a month away. What are you doing between now and a couple weeks?
Well,
a month away.
I know, but I mean, I got to prepare before. I can't go fly before that. I mean, I leave here in a week and a half. So we wouldn't be able to schedule anything that quick anyway. You guys are jamming at Flight Training Professionals. You can't fit me in. You don't
Keith
have time for that.
Keith got himself set up, come back here just to take care of you.
Yeah, well, yeah, and where is he? He's not here because he's too damn busy.
No,
so,
no,
see?
No.
That's not, he's playing hooky?
No, he's helping somebody out.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, regardless, I have an excuse, so I'm going to wait till after Sun and Fun. I'm going to use Sun and Fun in Lakeland as inspiration to get back in my training. Maybe I'll just go up there and to Lakeland, pick up a plane that we can come back and learn in. So we, you know, go talk to our, you know, Quest folks at Kodiak there and say, hey, give me that plane. Give
Good
me
that
Kodiak.
That. How many years have you been trying that?
Well, a few, but that was, you know, I didn't have my third class medical or my new one. So now I can tell them that I'm ready to go. All I need is your plane. Give me your plane, damn it.
And you'll have an instrument-rated pilot that could help you fly it back.
That's right. Are you going to do an ILS approach? Well, you can't for Sun and Fun. You got to fly visual flight rules into Sun and Fun, don't you?
You can actually fly IFR and go in there IFR.
You can?
Yeah. There's a whole advisor circular.
But you're flying in commercial. You're not going to fly your plane down, right, Dennis? Because you're coming.
I'm coming, but I'm going to fly into Orlando and then drive over.
Okay. All right. Well, and when you fly, you're going to fly into Orlando commercial, though, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. We got a ticket on Delta. I mean, I can't even get halfway there with my airplane for what Delta was charging for a plane ticket. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. Well, are you excited about doing your check ride, or is there a little anxiety at play here as well? What do you think?
You know, I finally see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not an oncoming 747. You know, it's ever since I got my private pilot license back in 1988, I said, I'm going to get my instrument rating. And it's like you. It's always been one excuse after another about why not to. Mm-hmm. And so finally, everything came together. I have the time. We have the funds. Let's just get it done. And so it's been flying a couple times a week, ground school sessions, simulator, everything for the last month. And, you know, it's getting so close now that I can just taste it.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty tight schedule, isn't it? A month to do your IFR? Or no, Ed? What do you think? And that kind of schedule? I thought it took longer than that, generally.
It does, but I also have 500 hours of flight experience, 200-some hours across country, 20-some hours of simulated and actual instrument and time that I've acquired over the years in the course of other training that I've done. So it wasn't like I had to start from the beginning and get all 40 hours in at once.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But so for a guy like him, a month or so is reasonable. For someone like me,
3 years full-time.
Really? No.
Well, you know,
well,
based on track history,
call you out.
Would say, yeah, the average would be what, 3 to 6 months, maybe.
It depends on how frequently they're flying. There's so many factors involved. The legal minimum may be 40, but the average is more like 60 to 70 hours of hood work to get through an instrument rating.
Well, then if you're doing it just a couple times a week, it would definitely be 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It's same scope as doing the private.
Got it. All right. But you feel, you know, excited. It sounds like you're excited about the prospect of getting it over with. And then do you have a goal? Have you already set up a trip? Like, hey, once I get my IFR, I'm going on this trip and I'm going to use my skills and that kind of thing. Or are you just worried about getting through the check ride at this point? What do you think?
Actually, no. I actually do have a trip on the schedule. We had planned to go, you know, fly fair weather, you know, VFR. But if I get the check ride, there's no reason why I couldn't file. My son wants to do a college tour here. He's a junior in high school. And yeah. So we got an opportunity to do a tour at University of North Dakota in Grand Forks. And they have a world famous aviation program
there. We've got a couple people that have gone up there. Great program.
Hmm. Yes.
Well, there you go.
So we actually have everything scheduled for the campus tour and the aviation briefing as well. And so that's about 3 weeks from now. So it's just before Lakeland. Yeah. We're going to go fly up to Grand Forks, come back home, and then get on a Delta flight a couple days later and go down to Sun and Fun.
Okay. Perfect. And then, you know, by the time July, August time frame comes through, you can go to Air Venture and fly into that big event. Woodstock of Aviation. You're all set, man, for a summer of fun flying. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.